Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ.
Hi, friends. Welcome to our St. Andrew's podcast. We're so glad that you've joined us for another series that we are beginning. We've just come off a series that we loved, actually, called Untouched Questions. If you haven't had a chance to go back and check that out, I hope you will. We looked at some tough questions that nobody likes to talk about in the faith and dived into some theological issues that are still mulling around in my head, even weeks after we've done them. So that was a really great series. But we're getting ready to kick off a new series that I think is going to be a lot of fun. Now, I have to tell you that during this time of COVID-19, quarantine, I sometimes need a little mental break.
A little pick-me-up.
A little pick-me-up. Something that is just different, that is not stressful, that's not too deep, that just helps me to smile. And so that's what this series is all about. And it is something that's going to be a lot of fun that I'm going to introduce here in just a minute. But first, you have already heard his voice. And you know that he is here in studio with me more than 6 feet away. It is my good friend, Pastor D.A. How are you?
I am good, Pastor Stephanie. I want all our listeners to know
yes.
that in this particular new series we're about to begin,
yeah.
you cannot ever refer to me
yeah.
as the expert. Because this is your wheelhouse.
Oh, no.
This is where you're the expert. And it's so much fun to be able to put that on you, because that means
That's
you have
so
to have
fun.
All the deep answers.
Oh.
But as you said, I mean, one of the things I'm excited when you approached and came up with this idea
uh-huh.
is, you know what? Sometimes we get so serious, we forget our faith is also fun. And
yes.
I think this is going to be fun,
yeah.
but not at the expense of spiritual depth. And
right.
so I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, well put. I am so excited about you, and you're very nice to say that. I the only reason I would be in any zip code of an expert in this is because of how much I love it. I spend an obscene amount of time on these things, and no, it is not shoes. And no, it is not fashion, although I do that as well. This series.
You're not doing that right now.
No, that's right. Nobody cares what shoes I am wearing
when
right now.
When we say window shopping, it's on windows is what it is. So.
So true. So this new series, I don't want to put it off any longer because I know all of you listeners are sitting there thinking, what could this great thing be? So this new series is called Name That Tune. Name That Tune. Because we're calling it that because we're going to be looking at some great songs of the faith. And we're going to be diving deeper into the theology of these songs because, believe it or not, you know, songs that last 3 to 4 minutes have a lot of powerful depth of
Absolutely.
Theology. And it's really fun when you really look, especially at verses, because we tend to memorize choruses
right.
but not verses as much. When you look at some of the verses that are written in some of the songs we're going to look at over the next few weeks, you're going to be amazed at the depth of greatness that is there
yes.
and how it really helps your faith to grow. And the great thing about music, and this is why I love it so much, ever since I was young, I mean, my dad would pull out his guitar and he would teach us these simple choruses. And in times when I really struggled with anxiety, which I know I've shared before that I really struggled with that, in times when the anxiety would peak, my initial response as a young person would always be to sing those songs.
Yeah.
And it would pull me out of those moments of panic and despair and anxiety to a place where I remembered who God was.
Right.
And when you remember who God is, anxiety and anything else pales in comparison to who he is. And so I love the power of music, and in particular, of course, praise music.
Yeah, well, listening to you share that again, a song
yeah.
comes
yeah.
to mind, and that is this old song, I mean, probably never been sung here because
uh-huh.
it's so old, that it's just scripture. It says, put on the garment
yes.
of praise
yes.
for the spirit of heaviness. And so in those
oh,
times when our
that.
Hearts feel heavy,
yeah.
that praise, that worship time can just be so meaningful. And,
yeah.
and I can say in my life, a lot of scripture, when I really started learning scripture,
mm-hmm.
came through music.
Yes.
And there are also those times that I hear a lyric and all I can think is, that expresses it better than I ever could have. I wish I had written that.
Right.
It was so good. I wish I had written that.
Yeah, and it has a connection to our soul. When you pair those incredible lyrics with theological depth, with music, with a tune that sinks into your soul, I mean, there's nothing more powerful. I remember talking to my dad, who is a retired Methodist pastor, preached hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands and thousands of sermons over his lifetime. And he would say to me, because he knew how much I loved music, and he's part of the reason that I love music, but he would say to me, you know, I pour my soul into proclaiming the word,
right,
through sermons, through messages.
Right.
He said, but when somebody hears a great song that wraps up the message of Christ in that, they will remember that forever.
They'll remember the song.
They
yeah.
may not remember what I said, but they'll remember right. the music. And there's just a lot of power in that.
Yes.
So we are going to be looking at a different song every week. And so I'm going to let my good friend and colleague, Pastor D.A., he is going to reveal to you the song of the week and name that tune.
All right. So wherever you are, go ahead and start your drum roll.
Drum roll, please.
And today's song is a very hot song on the radio.
Yes.
Reckless Love.
Ooh,
and I love that you picked this song, because mm-hmm. one of the things that I know is last summer our students went to Day Spring. You preached there.
Yes, it was so fun.
And so you would remember that a beloved pastor, a friend of ours who shall remain nameless,
yes.
but it's easy to figure out, was leading worship. And he refused yeah. to do this song,
yeah.
even though everybody was requesting it, because yeah. he said he didn't like the theology behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And not too long ago, a member of our church posted on Facebook that, I don't like just this
yeah.
one word,
yeah.
reckless, in the song.
Yeah.
He goes, so he wasn't telling us as pastors, don't ever sing that song
right.
again. He was just saying, whenever I sing it, I'm going to sing a different word.
A different word.
And so this is a song, as much as I love it, as much as you love it,
yeah.
it is not without its detractors. So
yeah.
why don't you tell us a little bit about this song for
sure.
people that may not be quite as familiar with it.
Well, I hope if you don't know it, that you will go ahead and look it up. You can find it anywhere if you just put in Reckless Love. The singer that is most well known for singing it is Corey Asbury. But I want to give you a little bit of background on the song, because it was actually written by a guy named Caleb Culver. But of course made popular by Corey Asbury in this moment that he had at Bethel Church when he was leading music there, and that's when it kind of exploded. But he gave this sort of testimony about the song, and I've actually watched this multiple times, but then found his testimony in writing, and I just want to read this part of it to y'all, because this gives one side of the song Reckless Love, but then there's a lot of people who fall on the other side of it as well. But and first, before I read that, let me read to you the chorus of the song, because it says, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. So that's the bulk of the
right.
of the chorus, what people are going to remember. So here is what Corey Asbury said about this song. He says, when I use the phrase the reckless love of God, I'm not saying that God himself is reckless. I am, however, saying that the way he loves is in many regards quite so. His love bankrupted heaven for you. His love doesn't consider himself first. His love isn't selfish or self-serving. He doesn't wonder what he'll gain or lose by putting himself out there. He simply gives himself away on the off chance that one of us might look back at him and offer ourselves in return. The recklessness of his love is seen most clearly in this. It gets him hurt over and over. Make no mistake, our sin pains his heart. Yet he opens up and allows us in every time. His love saw you when you hated him. When all logic said they'll reject me, he said, I don't care if it kills me. I'm laying my heart on the line.
Ooh,
hello, mic drop.
That's powerful. I mean, there's just so much of that resonates with me.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the clarity he has in defining what love is, but
yeah.
saying God's not reckless.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing to think that that he's reckless in the sense that he doesn't care how it affects him. I mean, that just is incredible when you think the God of the universe puts his heart on the line so that people can be saved.
Right.
That's just amazing. Okay, so then, of course, there's other people, other folks who disagree with that. And I found this article that talks about a pastor, John Piper, who doesn't really agree with the idea of God's love being reckless. And he says, maybe the author used the word reckless in the sense that God's love may look to an outsider foolish, ill-advised, brash, and breakneck. But in fact, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. And see that, so he's kind of trying to see it from a different perspective,
right,
but doesn't agree with it. So I'm curious about your thoughts about reckless love in
describing
God.
Again, when I first heard last year that they wouldn't sing that at camp, I'm like, why?
What? Man,
that's a great song.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that I had ever really stopped to think, you know, is reckless a poor adjective to use to define this? And one of the things I know about music, as I said already, I learned a lot of scripture listening to music.
Yeah.
And then later, I think we like the song if it's got a good melody and it moves us, you know, to some emotion.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite songwriters was Bob Hartman. Most people probably don't know Bob Hartman, but he was a lead guitar player, primary lyricist for the old Christian rock group Petra.
Yes, right.
And I was watching one of their old concerts online one day.
I love Petra.
And afterwards, one of the guys said, every Bob Hartman song is like a Bible study. And I'm like, yes, that's it.
That's
because
so true.
You just, and that's kind of what we're doing here. We're breaking down lyrics of songs to make them into Bible studies. And so this idea of reckless, and again, I think Piper hit on this. I think some other people say, well, that makes it sound like God's just totally out of control. And and so we don't like the image it gives us about God. But for me, if I don't look at reckless necessarily as defining who God is, but I look at reckless as defining how I experience God's love, then what I have to come up with is I can't control God's love. At that point, it is uncontainable. His love, as the Course says, it overwhelms me because I know this is not hard for people that know me well to believe, but sometimes I'm pretty unlovable. And God's love is out of control in the sense that it does not stay contained in the boundaries that I set on how God is supposed to love. You know, an example is sometimes people wrongly think, well, God only loves me if.
Right.
Or
right.
God only loves me when. God only loves me if I'm good. God only loves me when I help other people. To me, that, number one, it's just not how we understand the love of God.
No.
But number two, if I lock God into that framework, he is going to just bust outside the driver's lane on that, and he's going to say, no, let me help you experience my love in the way I want you to experience my love. So from that standpoint, I don't have a problem using that phrase, reckless love. In thinking about our relationship with God. How about you? I'm sure you've thought about this a lot.
I think that's so good what you're saying. I love all of that because it paints such a good picture. I find, and I was just having a conversation with my sister earlier, and she didn't know that we were talking about this today. And so it was a God kind of thing. Many of you may know who are listening just because I have talked about this before. And again, she willingly shares this, wants people to know her story so that they can know about the reckless love of God because she's experienced it so greatly in her life. But she was gang raped at 17, drugged. Her 15-year-old son was killed in a car accident just about 4 years ago. And her house just burned down last January. And so, I mean, she has had experiences in her life that are just horrific. You know, one of those would be enough to do one person in. And, but she was telling me today she was reminded of something that had happened to her a few months ago when she was at a Starbucks. All good things happen at Starbucks. I just want to say that.
You can't buy shoes. Well, I guess you could if you were online. You could buy shoes at Starbucks.
You can buy shoes anywhere. But so she was at a Starbucks and really wrestling with God, wrestling not as much with him but with herself about who she was and struggling. And a man who she didn't know came up to her while she was sitting at this table, and he had just ordered his coffee, and he said, I think I know you. And she said, I don't know that I've ever met you before. And he said, you're a Christian, aren't you? And she said, yes. And he said, well, that's how I know you. And then he said, I feel like God wants you to hear these words. And it was something to the effect of, you are seen and you are heard, and your desires are not bad.
Wow.
And then he said, you need to accept God's love for yourself, and then your light will shine brighter so that others can accept his love for them. And it was like, whoa, hello. Yeah,
is your camera in my living room?
I know, right? Yeah. How did he know that? And that was something, you know, that was one of many turning points for her. But we were talking about that this morning, and then we were talking about, she said, his love is so ridiculous. And she said, it just doesn't make sense that we would be able to bring to him all of our filth, everything, right, our whole lives, and that he would say, I love you, I want to be your friend, I want to be your father, and I'm going to take that filth and I'm going to make you righteous.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's not a I love you if or I love you when,
yeah,
kind of love. It is an I love you.
I love you, period.
And yeah. Yeah, from the human standpoint, when so often we are used to experiencing conditional love from,
yes,
other people, to really try to comprehend unconditional love.
Yeah. Mind blowing. Yeah, it's so true. And I love it that it, in that sense, you know, reckless, it'll shatter through anything. Any of the barriers that we put up, the walls that we put up, he knows our hearts so well. And in that ridiculousness of it, that it doesn't make any sense to us, it's still true. And I just think that's awesome.
Right.
Okay, so let's break the song down a little bit more.
Okay.
So we've talked about the chorus, but let's look at the verses, because the verses in this are so good. So the first verse says, before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. So I always want to hear your thoughts on this, because to me, this sounds a whole lot like Wesleyan Prevenient Grace.
This is diehard Wesleyan Prevenient, yes, Grace, and it gets even more Wesleyan as the song actually goes on.
Yeah.
So I broke this down to look at it, and
yeah,
so you know, thinking if a good lyricist can write the Bible study for,
yes,
us, what is he writing?
Right.
And so before I spoke a word, you were singing over me, and immediately for me that took me to the first chapter of the Gospel of John, where John says, "In the beginning,
yes,
was the Word."
Yep.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yes.
So you spoke a word, you were singing this word,
yeah,
over me, which is a very poetic way of imagining God.
Yes.
Before I even spoke a word myself.
Yeah.
You have been so, so good to me. Obviously, that is a statement of character. And when,
yeah,
we worship God, we say, God, you are good, you are holy,
mm-hmm,
you are pure, you are loving. You know, it's about God's character. So then the third line, before I took a breath, you,
mm-hmm,
breathed your life into me. Okay, so again, this whole idea that before we're even alive,
yeah,
God is already knowing what our, you know, life is going to be like and how much he wants a relationship with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually find myself, again, then thinking back to the creation narrative,
mm-hmm,
where Adam and Eve were not alive until God breathed the,
yeah,
breath of life into them.
Yeah.
And so for us, we're not really alive. We may be living, but we don't truly come to life until we receive that,
yes,
breath of the Holy Spirit into our being,
yeah,
that transforms us. And then, of course, the fourth line follows it up with, you have been so, so kind to me.
Mm-hmm.
Again, God's character. And sometimes when we experience kindness from people,
yeah,
it's not just thoughtfulness. What's the word I'm looking for? Some kind of nostalgic thoughtfulness.
Uh-huh.
It really is. You were kind to me, and you didn't have to be.
I didn't deserve it.
And
yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, God, you have been so. I mean, it's not a so kind. It is a so kind.
So,
it's
so.
A double double kind. Really emphasis on that.
Yeah.
Again, talking about the nature and character of God. And so then it just pours into that course again, which is so great. So, okay, verse 2, why don't you take that and give us your play-by-play on that.
Sure. So verse 2 says, when I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You've been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You've been so, so kind to me. I love how, again, he reiterates the nature of God, just like you're saying.
Right.
Again, we just repeat, you're so good, you're so kind, you're so, so, all those things. But when we look at this verse, you know, if the first verse is like prevenient grace, God goes before us, before we even knew that we ever needed him. This verse to me kind of, in a sense, wraps up justifying grace, that when I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. That we could not reconcile ourselves to God. No price that we ever paid would have been enough. We couldn't make things right. We couldn't justify ourselves. And, you know, when you think about justification and you think about a typewriter, this is going to age me, but, you know, you justify the margins.
Yeah, the areas on your computer.
Right, exactly. That's right. Oh, I love that. But when things are justified, they're brought into alignment. They're brought into the right place. And so that's what God does for us, even when we were his enemy, even when we stood and said, we want sin more than we want you. He still went the extra mile and in that sense was reckless and ridiculous. It didn't make any sense that he did that, but he was still willing to pay that price for us. So love the second verse.
That first line in the second verse is the one that really jumps out at me.
Yeah.
When I was your foe. So in other words, it's acknowledging there is an animosity, there is a conflict, there is a fight between me and God.
Yep.
And of course, we understand that to say, because we're born into a sinful world and in our own sinfulness, that we are in conflict with God. And when you have conflict with other people, you want to fight against them.
Yeah.
But he says, when I was your foe, your love fought for me. Wow.
Yes, it's so good.
What a beautiful thing.
I know.
Because, you know, and maybe there is someone who's listening. Maybe you're out there and you're thinking, you know, I'm just not sure about God and I'm mad at God and I'm angry at God. And the wrong response to that would be, so God's going to smite me and punish me. No. God's love is fighting for you on your behalf because that's how much he loves
that's
us.
That's how much he loves us. It's so good. Okay, so now we got to move into the bridge, which this is like, oh, I love the bridge. So let me read it, and then you're going to tell us all about it, okay? So the bridge says, there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down coming after me. I love that. Tell me what your thoughts are.
That is the greatest part of the whole song, and it really is that idea of God's grace pursuing us relentlessly, wanting a relationship with us. I think the first time that that lyric really jumped out at me was probably at Journey, our junior high discipleship camp we went to. And I'm singing and I'm watching the lyrics up there and I went, whoa. That just says there's no shadow, there's no darkness in my life. I mean, this is how I was experiencing this in worship.
Yeah.
That God's not going to come into with his light
and
push all that darkness away.
Yeah.
And before I could even start to really think about that, there's no wall you won't kick down. Okay, I like to watch the movies where somebody is pursuing someone they love, trying to save them, and you know nothing can stop them. And, and again, if there's a wall, we're going to tear it down. If we can't get over it, we'll go through it.
Yeah.
But this one, there's no lie. God won't tear down. And I'm thinking, what are all the lies that we hear about ourselves, whether it's in a generic sense, even the lie that says, oh, you're a good person. You don't need to worry about that. Yeah, that doesn't really explain the cross if we just think we're all good. We have to, when we were God's foes, he was fighting for us.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are lies that hurt us? People said something to us, and all we could think is, that's not true. And there it is in a song of worship.
Yeah.
God's going to tear down that lie.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's coming after you. And yes. I'm blown away by that. The whole understanding we have of grace right there in that bridge.
Yeah.
And, of course, when it says, you know, there's no mountain you won't climb up, that kind of did remind me of the old lyric of the pop song, you know, ain't no mountain high enough.
Right.
and that lyric and that song goes on to say, you know, to keep me away from you.
Yes.
And that's what this bridge does, although it's not talking about a man loving a woman or a woman mm-hmm. loving a man. It is talking about the love that the creator of the universe has for every person.
Yes.
There ain't no lie, there ain't no darkness, there ain't no mountain, there ain't no valley, there ain't no fire, there ain't no ice. I mean, there is nothing that will keep God from coming after us. And sometimes, again, I'm not always the most lovable person. I need that assurance from God. And
me too.
That's one of the reasons that when we sing this song in worship, it moves me very deeply.
Yeah, me too. And one of the things I think that's important to remember in this bridge is that a lot of times people will hear something like this and they will think, well, that's true for other people, but God, you know, God doesn't do that for me. He doesn't light up the darkness or he doesn't move the mountains because I haven't seen it all yet. And one of the things I would say, if that's you listening to this right now, is that this stuff, this mountain climbing, wall tearing down, lies breaking down, all of those things that God does do in our lives takes time.
Yes.
He is a gentle Savior. And even though he is reckless, he is extremely gentle. And he does that over time in ways that he knows our hearts can deal with it. So if you're thinking that he's just always going to come in and flip on the light switch and knock down the wall in 3 seconds, that's not always how it happens. Sometimes he takes the wall down brick by brick so that you can learn the lesson you need to learn.
That is so helpful. And I think it's even part of the song. It's a never-ending love.
It just
keeps
working.
However long it takes, God's not giving up.
Yeah, exactly. So if you haven't seen that in your life, don't get discouraged because God is really good at timing. He's really, really good at it. Okay, tell me your final thoughts.
Okay, final thoughts. One of the things that I want to acknowledge is the fact that there is some discussion, debate, controversy, whatever you want to call it, over this one word, reckless, is that we do understand the words that we use in worship, the words we use to ascribe to God, God's greatness. It's important.
Yeah,
and
true.
And for those people that disagree with our take on this, I have no qualms with them at all. I would just say, don't sing this song, or at least that word of it.
Yeah,
if it doesn't work, because the rest of the song, I think, works.
Yeah.
The other thing I would share with you, the listener, is Christian music has changed a lot, and we're not just talking about moving from pipe organs to praise bands. That's not what I'm talking about. That could be thrown in there. But when we think of people that say, I love the hymns of the faith, the hymns of the faith were written to teach theology.
Mm-hmm.
And I think primarily of one of the founders of the United Methodist tradition, Charles Wesley.
Mm-hmm.
His brother John could express a doctrine, justifying grace, prevenient grace, those kind of things. But it was Charles that put the words to music so that people could remember it and they could learn it.
Yeah.
And so from that standpoint, that's why I love this series. It's like, we're going to actually take the time to look at this and what does this teach us about God?
Yeah.
How about you?
I love that. Well, just as we wrap up, one of the things I would share with you is that what you put into your ears affects who you are. And so the music that you listen to, the things that you allow to soak into your soul are going to go into your heart and it's going to come back out. So I would just really encourage you to think about what you are putting into your heart, what you're listening to, because this is a great opportunity for you to change that if you need to. If you need to start putting on your playlist Christian songs that remind you of who God is so that in times when you are in a dark night, you remember that. You remember those words and it comes back and it pushes away anxiety, depression, confusion, the things that we often struggle with. by knowing who God is, because that's what these songs do for us. So make sure that you're pouring that into yourself. That's a choice you have to make. So I hope that you will do that. And we're going to have a lot of fun doing this together. And I'm really glad that you've joined us. If you are wanting to check us out online, I hope you'll go to saokc.org and send us a message or check out our lives. We've been doing a lot of daily devotionals during this time where people are kind of quarantined at home. So check those out on Facebook and on YouTube. And then always 10:30 right now, we are having our service streamed online, both Facebook Live and YouTube Live. So hope you'll check that out as well. And we sure appreciate you. Glad that you're listening. We pray for you, and we're excited for what God is doing in your life. And we pray you have a wonderful week.
Hey, friends, D.A. Bennett, St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. I want you to know that we are discovering some real blessing and benefit of digital discipleship, but we also want to talk to you about subscribing to our YouTube channel. Again, it's under the church's name, and you'll get some different video devotions each day. So if you're looking for another venue, maybe that'll work for you. God bless.